We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Dan Carcillo with us on The Score.
I decided to take the plunge, and I went to a traditional mushroom ceremony containing psilocybin, and after that, I felt different, and it broke my destructive thought pattern.
That's not a name that I found. It's a name that found me on a vision quest. Something that you should do.
No, I'm not going to eat a bunch of drugs and sit out in the desert and hope some name randomly pops in my head.
Well, then I question your leadership.
I got connected to Decriminalize Nature, which is a movement to give back our inalienable right to use these medicines as healing tools.
Having the recreational usage conversation, I'm your Huckleberry. It's been many years, but I wouldn't endorse it, but I can't say I ever had a bad experience on it. Half a dozen times, probably, with mushrooms.
The mushrooms are turning on me!
Probably 10 or 12 with what was called blotter acid. Little stamp you'd let dissolve on your tongue. Never had a bummer on it. Always wonderful.
I got no problem with it, even if it's not something that I would do.
We need to move Lonzo.
That ain't no problem.
Huh?
That ain't no problem.
You might try it if it became legal. You might you'd give it a taste. Something tells
probably.
Me you might, yeah. I'm going to stay in retirement if I'm told ever I'm terminal. That would be the one I'd come out of retirement for.
That makes sense.
Oh, I'm terminal? All right, where's the blotter?
I did mushrooms once. Stuffed mushrooms. Oh, platter.
I got dosed with acid once. Back at 68. I was with your dad and them at the Copa. BOAC Stewart has put it in my drink. Jerry Vale started singing and I look over. Your Uncle June's got a laser beam shooting out his eyes.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for hanging out. Mac and Parkins on The Score, Scoring Team Show 28. Discover convenient ways to pay your ComEd bill at comed.com/pay. It was fun with Dan Carcillo yesterday. He's an interesting dude.
Yeah, he is. I would love to get a sit-down with him sometime down the road, maybe over a round of golf or a bag of mushrooms. I don't know. He's an interesting guy. I haven't loved everything about his post-hockey career, but yesterday wasn't the day to bring any of that up. It was about other topics. I love the fact that we share a passion for the Canadian Power Trio, which raised the Sydney Cup, not the Stanley Cup. My goodness, I hope the dozen of you who texted weren't driving to let me know that it's Sidney Crosby, not Stanley Crosby. I'm sorry I screwed it up. I know who it is. I am very well aware of number 87. It's Stanley Crosby, you idiot. It's Sidney. Okay, all right. Don't drive to make those corrections, please. When you know what someone meant, talking about the Stanley Cup, throwing Stanley in before Crosby and not giving him his Sidney, I'm sorry. But that's what happened. It's late in the show, you know. I do tire. Yeah, you know. I tire. We're back to can't do it.
It was a good hour. I enjoyed the 3 o'clock hour of today's radio
too.
Program.
And thank you, texters, who have gotten to us and said that you liked it as well. We appreciate it. You know, and it doesn't always have to be positive. And that's the reason to do the segment, is address some of the negatives that people are feeling. And I'm glad we did that. It flushed out pretty nicely the way we did it today. Maybe we'll do it again sometime down the road.
I'd be happy to do that. There's a piece of breaking news in the baseball world. Multiple agents are receiving messaging today that there will not be a minor league season, rather a Major League Baseball expanded roster and a developmental league playing out of spring training facilities. Now, this obviously brings up a lot of questions. I can't say it's surprising, right? They're going to prioritize Major League Baseball, which is a revenue generator, over Minor League Baseball, which for the majority of teams can be net neutral or even a revenue loss. You can lose money on it. They're going to put their resources into the thing that makes them the most money, which is the big league club. So if you why host minor league games and put no fans in the stands, bring in no money, endanger the players with social distancing, and use medical resources to keep them safe when you could use those medical resources elsewhere. So this isn't surprising, but that's an impact on thousands of baseball players. There's way more minor league baseball players than major league baseball
players. Yes, and baseball personnel, minor league teams that are going to have to make radical cuts because there's no season and there's not going to be income. Man, I feel bad for anybody affiliated. It's a rough enough road anyway trying to earn a living in minor league baseball, and there are going to be a lot of people out of work. A lot of industries are going to bleed during this pandemic. In minor league baseball, you think about the jobs already that were lost with fans removed, you know, and now you get even more reductions. No jobs this summer for a lot of people. If you're a young broadcaster or working in a front office, or you were doing an internship in sales and marketing at a minor league club, you don't have that chance now. I mean, those
Spiegel's nephew.
Yes, Matt Spiegel's nephew, right?
Yeah, he's been on the station, and I've talked to him. Jack, he got a gig, and he was going to be the, you know, it's part-time seasonal work, right? But it's the first gig if you want to do the play-by-play thing. Those fall leagues and instructional leagues, and they all need broadcasters, and they it's a great thing, and it's awesome, and it's the first gig for so many people that I know that graduate from broadcasting school, and you do that for a few months, and you learn stuff, and you get professional experience, and then you can work, like you said, in the marketing side, and you put together the game notes, and you make contacts, and you're not doing it for student radio anymore, and now that's going to be over, so it'll be tough. There will be minor league baseball again, obviously, but that's going to cost a lot of people a lot of money and a lot of opportunities. So it's a bummer. It's not that unexpected. If you want to go glass half full for what the majority of our audience cares about, it's probably necessary in order to ensure a Major League Baseball season, because you're not going to be dealing with 25, 26-man rosters, right? If you're going to have limited spring training and you're going to be playing two doubleheaders a week in some version of regular season baseball, there might be 35 guys on every team so that you could have more pitchers to go deeper. And so instead of having a AAA team, you'll just have more guys up with the big league club. So in order to have some semblance of regular season baseball, Major League Baseball, I should say, they probably have to eliminate minor league baseball.
Yeah. You know, your Syracuse brother, Jordan Bernfield, had a minor league job years ago. And summer of 07, when you interned for me as well, you were Patrick Kane and he was Jonathan Toews. Boy, did I have a couple of rookies. And you like that, that I call you Kane instead of Toews, because he's the flashy one, right? Toews.
I enjoy that.
It's a pretty good analogy when you think about the personalities of the two guys involved. It really is. One's a pot stirrer, and one is just very, but both very effective and good at what they do. Jordan told me some of the details of that job, doing play-by-play and working in PR and things you never dreamed you would have to do. So many of those young ball players who in their, you know, not from the States, have never been to the doctor in their lives, and they don't speak very good English, and he would have to take some of those guys to the doctor, and they've got things growing on them that they've had for a while, and they've never taken themselves to a doctor to say, hey, what's this? This isn't normal. And he said it was just a bizarre, bizarre experience, and they don't pay you anything for those jobs.
Oh, it pays nothing, but not even for the broadcasters, man. Like, for the players, if you've been to minor league games or you know people that have done it, and I know dozens of people that have done that broadcasting gig, they'll talk about how the fans in the town, they're just so happy to have, you know, a baseball team in Fort Wayne or wherever it is, that, you know, so fans will go and they'll ask for autographs, and 99% of the guys are never going to make it to the show. And in exchange for an autograph, fans often bring gift cards and give it to the players. Like, hey, here's $20 to Buffalo Wild Wings. Will you sign my baseball? Because they're not making enough money to, like, really live. And it's part of what, you know, keeps those guys going. They're from town to town, on buses, not making a livable wage. Like, minor league baseball was already a not really sustainable financial model without Major League Baseball subsidizing it, right? Like on its own, minor league baseball can be very problematic on a whole. There are some teams that are profitable, don't get me wrong, but as a whole, it's not. It needs Major League Baseball to subsidize it because they need a place to play all of the players. And so when you remove that infrastructure of any sort of revenue, it's not possible.
Let's spend a few more minutes now that we've had a day to digest baseball's new potential plan, and I think we have some fun audio from the man who believes anything is possible at any time himself,
yes.
Bob Nightingale.
Anything can happen. Something could happen. Not anything will happen.
Anyone who doesn't know the story, go ahead. But it's basically
three divisions, 10 teams is done geographically, an east, a central, and a west. The Cubs and White Sox would be in the same division. You would play only the teams in your 10-team division. It would be the American League Central. It would be the National League Central, but Pittsburgh is in the east, so they get flipped, I should say, for the Atlanta Braves. And then there's an expanded postseason. But when I first met the news yesterday, just because it is so crazily different, the more I've thought about it, the more I think it probably makes a lot of sense. While I think it's really, really ambitious to try to slam in 100 games with all of those doubleheaders, I think that's going to pose a lot of problems, and it's going to be taxing on a lot of people, most specifically the guys who are providing the product. It's going to wear them down in a hurry, and it's going to affect the quality of play. I don't care if you put 55 guys on your baseball team. But I suppose it is more responsible than the way they would do it in much more than the way they had planned for that Arizona thing. But if that's what comes down and they can get it going and be responsible on the 2nd of July, that's way ahead of any expectations I had. And I still think that's probably not a likely scenario. But if they could pull it off, I am on board with that. And I think that would be a wonderful thing. And as you said yesterday, the idea of the Cubs and White Sox playing meaningful games against each other where finally, you know, it is for something. It's not the Crosstown Classic played for charity years ago in an exhibition. It's not intra-league play. It's play within your division. I mean, to the White Sox, the Cubs become the Green Bay Packers to the Bears. And that'd be damn fun, especially with a bunch of meetings against each other. You're going to play each other how many times? Percy, you're going to play him 12, 14 times? That's going to be fun.
It'd be great, and I'm here for it. And also, it doesn't involve quarantining these guys and putting them in a bubble. So there's some sort of hope and projection that the medical community would be able to be behind it with testing, where they'd be playing it at Wrigley, at guaranteed rate, traveling to Milwaukee, St. Louis, Minnesota, Detroit, Kansas City. And no fans, but there'd be some semblance of normalcy within it. And so, yeah, if they can pull it off, amazing. And it's just something to hope for and shoot for. But Bob Nightingale broke the story, and he was apparently in his most Bob Nightingale form on our sister station up in Milwaukee.
How confident do you think this is going to be the plan? Or are you writing another piece in a couple of weeks with a new plan? Do you think this is the plan we'll ultimately see, this three-division 10-teamer?
I do. I do think this will be the plan. I think this is the best for travel and everything else. It's kind of a modification of some of the plans that have already rolled out. So, you know, things can change, obviously. The best plan would be everybody goes back to a normal schedule and people are flying around the country, that sort of thing. But that sort of does not look like that's going to happen. So this might be the best alternative.
So by July 4th, let's say, you think they're playing baseball?
I do. They're very optimistic right now. I mean, you know, they can't control the virus. Anything can change. But, yeah, July 2nd is that Thursday. And, they love to play in that weekend. And people are celebrating and everything else. So a perfect way to, you know, bring baseball back.
Anything could happen, Mac.
Anything could happen. And, it's did he say anything
there? Something could happen. Anything will happen. They're very optimistic right now. I mean, you know, they can't control the virus. Anything can change.
They can't control the virus.
No, anything can change.
And when do they put the brakes on at the first outbreak? There's going to be one. Someone will test positive. If they start, it won't be long.
The thing is, I mean, I keep reading stuff on this every day, right? I just can't turn away from the news. Like, there's a talk in Vegas of opening up casinos, and casinos are putting in, you know, infrared cameras, and they are scanning. They can, you know, they already track you when you go into a casino, right? You're walking onto private property. You know that you're under security surveillance. But just now, one of the things is going to be, if you walk into the Venetian, they'll take your temperature. They'll just be able to do it from the cameras that they have. And if your temperature is above, I think it was 100.4 degrees, you'll be flagged, and they'll come over, and there will be additional testing. It's crazy.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, with our Vegas mayor providing us with such entertainment in recent days, I reached out to a friend of mine, an ex-bear who lives in Vegas, Robin Earl. I think I mentioned him to you earlier today when we talked off the air. I want to get Robin on for Score Stories. I want to also ask him how he felt about the city in which he lives, having a mayor offer him up as part of the control group. In that interview she did with Anderson Cooper last week that we had so much fun with. And I did not see the video. I since have seen the video of the
ridiculous
interview where Cooper puts his face into his hands like, I can't believe this is actually happening on live television. We have a mayor of a major city in this country who thinks like this? How does this happen? It's much funnier. The audio was good enough on his own because he groaned a time or two. But hopefully former Bear Robin Earl will jump on in the next few weeks. We're going to be at this quarantine for quite some time, I have a feeling. Really good guy. You should get to know him.
Would love to.
Yes. One of my favorite ex-Bears. He's a pal, and he's been a loyal contributor to the radio station since its inception, since our very first golf outing. He helped us with some stuff promotionally. He's a former Washington Husky. And played both fullback and tight end for the Bears, and with them drafting a tight end, he's perfect to talk to about a handful of things soon.
Let's bring him on. And on this baseball proposal, Mac, Anthony Rizzo actually turned up on SportsCenter, and you can listen to Jason Hayward. Also, he was on earlier today with Lawrence Holmes. You can check out the podcast page at 670thescore.com. But Rizzo was asked, among other things, what he's doing to pass the time.
A lot of working out. Just Monday to Friday, Saturday we'll work out too. My wife and I, we just really have been taking this time to really try to take advantage of being home and not kind of putting on the quarantine 15, trying to lose the quarantine 15. So a lot of water, a lot of body armor, just really trying to put the right things in our bodies so when we do get going, we're ready to go.
Sort of a unique situation for you with where you are sort of like in the timeline, and there's some uncertainty for you as to what your future could look like. So when you have that, how are you approaching what's in front of you right now?
Well, we just get into a routine. It's kind of just take, like I said, try to take this time to enjoy the house. We're home in Florida, so kind of get everything together in the house that we wouldn't do in a normal off season. Take advantage of all that, and then just stay in shape. It's you know, this time we're usually playing every day. It's cold. It's starting to warm up a little bit. You got the spring flowers in Chicago. So as long as I continue to keep my mind going and work out, I've been hitting. Actually, funny story. We ride bikes all the time, and we saw that one of our neighbors in the neighborhood has a batting cage in their yard, so we went and knocked on their door and asked if we could use their batting cage. So we've been using their batting cage to hit. It's been really nice.
What concerns you the most about some of the proposals you have heard?
Just more structure. There's a lot of stuff flying around right now, and I think, you know, the Players Union has been really good at keeping us updated. The Cubs have been really good at keeping us updated. It's hard for us baseball players with no structure, because we're all time-based, you know, routine-oriented. So we want just something that we don't have, and all the different proposals sound pretty great. I mean, as long as our safety is put first, then I think everyone's going to agree to go back and play with a couple other logistical things. But we all want to play baseball, that's for sure.
Anthony Rizzo on SportsCenter. I just would imagine, like, we know what we're doing now. Like, we figured it out, right? We're all broadcasting from home. We have the equipment. We're getting into our routine. Those guys, just the logistical side of executing and doing their job, there's 100 more questions than there are answers right now. So I would imagine that uncertainty leads to quite a bit of anxiety.
Good time to be his neighbor with the batting cage. Get to know him a little bit, maybe some perks along the way. I assume it's a very, very nice neighborhood, and that that family probably already has a lot of things going for it, I'm certain. But, man, that's pretty cool. Sure, Anthony Rizzo, you can use our batting cage. I mean,
it's weird that Rizzo lives in a community where his neighbor has a batting cage and he's not the one with the batting cage.
Odd, isn't it? I was thinking what would be something similar for me, and that probably would be, I don't know, let's say Roger Bossard, he wants to come by and cut the grass. You know, yes, Roger. He doesn't have any grass in his yard. His yard is all stone. But he's itching to cut. He wants to come by and get a few reps in making tall grass short and watching Roger manicure my yard, give it a good quaff top. That would be exceptional. That's a pretty cool thing. Yeah, I imagine it's difficult to get it. You're used to routine, and the Cubs were supposed to be playing the Pirates this afternoon at Wrigley Field. We would have just been getting started had there been baseball. Zach would have been wrapping up his postgame, and we would have been scrambling for highlights and Pittsburgh Pirates television, if there would have been any. No longer, as Tanny reminded us yesterday, it's a blastless booth these years. Steve Blass, the former Pirates pitcher at the age of 106, finally has stepped away.
That was wild.
That is wild and pretty cool.
So we had to work a full day today without any day baseball. But I'm telling you, man, there's going to be all sorts of doubleheaders when baseball comes back. So, I don't know, August, September?
Yeah, probably my age. It gives me the advantage to go, it gives you choices. Go to the matinee or go to the night game. But I at this point in my life, do not have the staying power to take in two baseball games in one day as a spectator. That's not going to happen for me. I don't know if you feel differently, but
you mean in person? None of us are going to be there in person.
Yeah. You're not. Well, are media going to be allowed?
Some, I'm sure. Yeah, but I know I don't anticipate that Dan McNeil will be at a doubleheader on a press pass. Don't worry. But you're not breaking any news to us. None of us thought that was going to be the case. Don't you worry.
We did a handful of Cubs games last year, didn't we? I mean, we were right there a few times. I went a handful of times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was
there for Eloy's big bomb.
I'll go.
Thanks, Cubs.
Thank you, Cubs. That's right.
But my guess is it'll be all that will be restricted. It'll be, only the beat writers and the columnists and the people who go in the BBWA and all that stuff. So it's gonna be a weird year, man.
And the Aurelios in the neighborhood, are they still there or did they close up? They shut their doors, huh?
Yeah, the Wrigleyville one moved locations or closed up. Yeah, but
it must have been the six people we brought in. From that, 2 to 6 every time we broadcast there. Swing and a miss.
There is a football story that just, the headline itself just makes me laugh. I want to see if you feel the same way about it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Next on the score.
That's even, that's a W. How many people want to eat a W tonight?
That's Jameis Winston's weird pump-up speech where he was eating a W for some reason and people pretended like it was motivational. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including healthcare professionals. Thank you for helping to keep us safe. Jameis Winston signed a very cheap one-year deal with the New Orleans Saints to back up Drew Brees, but Taysom Hill is, of course, there. And There's talk of it being like a quarterback apprenticeship for Jameis to learn from Breeze and Sean Payton and then hopefully re-enter the free agent market and have more people invest in him after he led the league in interceptions. He did something else already to improve his stock, Mac. This is from Greg Allman, who is a Saints.
Greg Allman, wow. He's resurrected for the second time this month.
Really?
A member of the Allman Brothers. Yeah, never mind. Bernsey had a guy. Oh. That's probably the same Greg Allman. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, he covers the Bucs. I know. My bad. He was on a call with the New Orleans media, and Jameis apparently had LASIK surgery. And he was asked about it. He said, yeah, now I can read license plates and street signs that I couldn't read as well before, and it helps with blurriness, depth perception, and clearer vision.
He's Ricky Vaughn.
That's right.
Ricky effing Vaughn.
And I just...
Lou Brown told him, read this from across the room, and that's what kept him from getting demoted to the minor leagues. And get him some glasses, ugly as they were. Seeing ain't that important, said Willie Mays Hayes. Now Jameis Winston can see. Oh, they're wearing a different color jersey. Okay, I won't throw it to him now. He's got it.
But the football people make it seem like their game is so complicated and us idiot radio hosts can never understand. And we need to do 25 hours a day of film study. You didn't know that your quarterback couldn't see? Am I crazy?
That's remarkable.
He's like, yeah, my depth perception's better and things aren't as blurry and I can, you know, everything's just crisper out there. I would think that would help.
If one needs prescription glasses, isn't one of the realities they have to deal with headaches consistently because of blurred vision or a challenge?
Yeah, squint and you're...
I would think so, yeah.
Got to hold your phone closer to your face and everything about it, but just... He's a quarterback of an NFL team. This is a man you invest in heavily. He's the former number one pick in the draft, and you don't know what his eyesight is?
That's insanity. Very small type they put on the little forearm flap, too, for you to remember your certain plays with formations. That's not like the font on the point size on my text. When I blow it up to where it's really large and you guys laugh at me because I got grandpa eyes, yeah, that's very small. So best of luck to Jameis Winston. I'm sure the New Orleans Saints look at him with one thing, and that is in case of emergency, break glass and he appears. I would assume it is their hope that he never sees the field. A healthy Drew Brees and I would think Taysom Hill would be 1A or certainly 2 over Jameis Winston. I know you throw it a mile, but you don't know where it's going.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. Like, obviously, they hope he never plays because they would never voluntarily sit Drew Brees for Jameis Winston. They sometimes would sit him for Taysom Hill to run the unique packages and the wildcat stuff and use his athleticism and running ability.
Yeah.
But if Drew Brees sprained his knee and was out for 4 games... I actually think that they might start Jameis over Taysom Hill. I haven't seen anything from Taysom Hill to suggest he is a normal NFL quarterback and anything other than a gadget player. A good gadget player, a useful player, but I would assume Jameis is going to be the backup quarterback.
They in New Orleans have talked about Hill as though they feel he is an NFL quarterback, and they backed that by letting Teddy Bridgewater walk. They weren't going to be in the in the bidding war with Carolina or anybody else, but they clearly felt comfortable enough with him as a number two to not even consider the option of going with a high-priced backup. Probably couldn't have done that, especially with the money Breeze is making. But it's Taysom Hill, and Jameis Winston, and I'm glad he can see now. That might help his touchdown to interception ratio just a smidge.
Moving forward.
Yeah, it has the potential to help him a little bit.
I would think it would help. And, you
know, that. How do you not know that?
Blew my mind. I was like, oh,
doing pretty much anything. Forget for doing pretty much anything. If you've got vision issues, I would think they would surface and become recognizable.
You would think. Yeah. And I'd never bought with it. I thought that what they were saying about Taysom Hill was they were, hey, trade us a second-round pick for this guy. We're talking him up. They were never going to be able to afford Bridgewater. He got $20 million per. from another team, and they just brought in another quarterback. So I don't know that Jameis Winston, he's got problems, but I don't know that if I'm his agent, I sign him up to be a third string quarterback, right? He could be a backup on plenty of teams. The guy had what, nearly 5,000 passing yards last year. Like he's got some skills.
Yeah, he does. But a lot of times, you just run as fast as you can. I'll throw it, and he's got a couple of pretty good receivers in Godwin and Evans who can go up and get it. So I mean, and they were trailing it. They threw the football a ton last year. I don't expect Jameis Winston ever to bounce back and have a reasonably successful NFL career ever.
I led the league in passing yards. 5,109. Led in pass attempts, also led in interceptions.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think he'll ever be a guy who you win because of.
I agree.
I'm convinced of that, just as I am with Mitch Trubisky, that you still hold out some single-digit percentage hope that Mitch someday will come along, and I am not on that ship with you. I am standing on shore. You enjoy your little Mitch Trubisky cruise. I don't think it's ever going to happen, and I hope there's a fair training camp so Nick Foles can earn the job, because he's the better of the two.
I agree, he's the better of the two. That's an interesting point by the texter. Is it possible that Jameis Winston has completed more passes to Saints players than Taysom Hill by throwing interceptions?
Yeah, that's...
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very possible. I'm doing something tonight, Mac, that I want your advice on whether or not it's worthy of shaving for.
Yes.
I am hosting,
I'm
moderating a Zoom conversation with Northwestern basketball coach Chris Collins for the Northbrook Park District.
Oh,
is that worthy of shaving?
Yes.
You think
do
so?
Do it for Windex. Yes. Call him Windex and see what kind of chuckle you get out of him. Chris is really a good dude. That should be fun.
I'm excited about it.
Shave. You look hideous.
I know I look hideous, but I said I wasn't shaving until someone paid me to be on TV again, and I'm not being paid for this.
You're not being paid for this, right.
I'm donating my time is how they pitched it. I was like, yeah, of course I'll do it. It'll be fun, and I enjoy talking to Chris the few times I've had him on the show, so it's easy. It'll be great.
Can you make something out of that thing? Can you go to the goatee to salvage it? Like, you know, eliminate a lot of the patchier areas where you're not finding any growth? Just go with the goatee, man.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I could try.
Your chin is relatively full.
It is.
It's what's to the sides of it that needs.
Yeah, it's the sides. It's the neck. The mustache to the beard doesn't connect. Like, that's where it's a problem. There's something below the lower lip. It's just, I'm looking at myself in the mirror right now. It's not good.
It's called a button duster.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, there you go. That's a technical term. I'm just saying. So, all right. So your vote is shave. Okay.
Yeah, and do what you want.
I'm probably not going to.
Northwestern basketball.
I'm looking forward to it.
When Kendall Gill says today his 13-year-old son, you know, has got the grade someday down the road to get into Northwestern, at least that's the early. I'm thinking, don't do that, man. I didn't want to say anything, but hey, you get a great education, but you'll never know what it's like to play in an NCAA tournament game. You're pretty much committing to that as soon as you put your name on the letter of intent.
Unless his kid's that good. He said he can be the best player in the world. Best player in the world can get you to a tournament at Northwestern. I promise he's gonna
have to be at least one of the best players in the Big Ten if they're ever going to get to tournament number two.
That is
one of the most remarkable stories in Chicago sports, that in the history of that university, they've been to the tournament once, and nobody cares.
No, I probably won't lead with that tonight.
Probably a good idea on your part.
I thought so. I thought you'd think that was the right thing to do.
You got another NFL story too.
What'd you say?
Did you see the ugly NFL story on one of my favorite players 2 years ago? Former Jaguar Telvin Smith, who got that big money deal during the 17 or 18. I think it was the 18. No, it was the 17
no, what happened?
Season.
I missed this.
He's been jailed for unlawful sexual activity with minors.
Oof.
Yeah. Jacksonville Sheriff's Office website says. It's on Pro Football Talk if you want to read it. But
I'll check it out.
Man, he was such a good player 3 years ago and has dipped. But, man, oh, man, not good.
That's not that's obviously horrible, and there's no laughing matter there. There was an NFL arrest that made me chuckle. I don't know if you saw any of the details around Chiefs cornerback Breshad Breeland's arrest report. He advised Deputy Anthony that he was a marijuana enthusiast, and that was why he was found with a little bit of weed on him.
Smoke weed every day.
Say that again.
He advised Deputy Anthony that he was a marijuana enthusiast.
Yeah.
So that's why he had it. That'll happen. 1.3 grams.
That's nothing.
Nothing. That's nothing. Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Nothing.
Nothing.
But he said, I'm an enthusiast.
I'm an enthusiast.
He was doing research.
Yeah. He liked to smoke marijuana and was a marijuana enthusiast. So
I like that. That's my language right there.
That's what I'm saying. Breshad Breeland. That's a solid police report.
Wasn't Breshad Breeland the DB I was trumpeting who should have been the Super Bowl MVP? I'm almost certain I thought he was as good as anybody was in that game. And, I'm always rooting for defense. I'm pretty sure it was Breeland. I think it was.
Okay. I don't recall. Mahomes seemed like the right choice to me, but...
Yeah, it worked out okay.
It did. Yeah. He's going to get paid pretty soon. We'll put a bow on this thing. It's McNeil and Parker's on the score.
That is Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Coming up next, we are going to talk to Greg Aumond. He is the Bucks beat reporter for The Athletic in Tampa.
Get it now?
I do. Thank you.
I think Speaks was in. That was a week you took paternity leave, I'm pretty sure. So he got the Greg Aumond reference. And when Bernsey teased that guest coming up, I said, wow, that's pretty good. He's been dead, but he got, oh, man, the Aumond brothers, that's good stuff. Yeah.
Want to let it breathe here for a minute? Pump it up? Okay.
Great song.
Great song. It really
I've developed
is.
More of an appreciation for the Aumond brothers now that one of them is guesting on Bernstein's show with frequency.
Yeah, it's a good get for him, by the way.
And he can talk Buccaneers football.
It's perfect.
They're coming to town this year, you know.
I do know that, but I was reminded of that recently. That's all of a sudden really exciting. That's the game of the year.
Yeah, and the last time the New England Patriots were here, we didn't get to see Gronk. Wanting Gronk. That's because he was out that game. The Patriots beat the Bears anyway.
Yes.
In a high-scoring affair. Khalil Mack
Cordarrelle
wasn't
Patterson.
Right that day. Yes, Cordarrelle Patterson had a big day against the Bears. Scored a touchdown against them. Big, long kickoff return.
Yeah, if fans are able to go to games, that'll be the ticket of the season, right? More than Bears Packers. See Brady with the Bucks.
Yeah, maybe. I think there are a lot of meatheads. Probably just as soon see the Packers as anybody. But I would think if you're only going to go to a game or two a year, you'd like to see Tom Brady. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe. There's no schedule out yet, so I don't know when it would fall. But if it's late in the year. Who knows if the Brady buzz is still prevalent? Who knows if he's still standing?
Sure. Yeah, anything could change that part of it. The schedule normally comes out in May, so we could be just weeks away if they're going to go forward with it, which I assume the NFL will want to, right? With no sports back in May, they'll want to do a primetime NFL Network schedule release show, probably get 1.5 million viewers for it, set an NFL Network Tuesday night record rating or something like that.
Yeah.
National anthem beforehand.
Yeah, exactly.
Have Joe Tessitore give the name of the stadium in Mexico City that's not going to be hosting the game.
Whoa! The first missed kick in the history of Azteca Stadium. Oh, let me write this down. I remember where I was.
Azteca Estadio.
Estadio Azteca, home to all-time classic World Cups. And for the second time, Monday Night Football has come to this venerable venue.
Whoa! Whoa!
Whoa.
What a moment.
That man runs on caffeinated only.
I just don't know how you release an NFL schedule if you can't sell tickets to fans, or if you do release the schedule, then don't put the tickets on sale, right? Like, one of the two things needs to happen. You need either need to delay the release of the schedule until you know whether or not fans will be there. We are operating under the very safe assumption that fans will not be allowed to be there. So hopefully when they do release the schedule, they don't also put the tickets on the website. Because if you put the tickets on the website, people are going to buy the tickets, and then you're just going to have a lot of angry people come September, October, November, December.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know if the NFL has the ability to have that level of discipline, frankly. Like, I just don't know. Do they have the ability to do one without the other? We can have the scheduled television show, but we're going to hold off on selling tickets until we know for sure that fans can be there.
Roger is working for free now. So
that's good of him.
The commissioner is going to want to have his maybe to make him feel a little bit better, since because that basement was not that impressive. His man cave, I don't know if that was an auxiliary man cave or what, but that was for him to be hosting for that. It's like, really, Raj? Come on, man. That's not Cliff Kingsbury saying that.
Like, you don't want him in Cliff Kingsbury's house. Like, you know, he doesn't want to give off that vibe. Well, his old mahogany wood and some footballs and an American flag behind him.
Like, he had said that his basement was like his daughter's playroom. There was a lot of, you know, dolls and princess stuff down there. So that's very relatable from our commish. But yeah, it was so surprising. But I don't think that was his actual sanctuary.
Yeah, the guy makes $40 million a year.
I know. That's what houses. I'm saying. It's all you have to do is put a few keystrokes. You find out what this guy's got in his pocket. Like, we don't already know that. He has been highly compensated, and he's earned a lot of that money. I mean, he's been an okay commissioner. I think his time has passed. I'd like to see somebody new give it a shot. But I think for the most part,
that'll do it.
I think for the most part, I would give him a passing grade on his commissionership.
Right place, right time. Yeah, maybe. It's a mansion in Westchester. It's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
I just Googled it. He's doing fine. He showed us the humble corner of one room of his house.
That's pretty good for a guy that only took a dollar salary a few years back, right?
That's true. Man, he's had to take a few cuts. Hope we don't have to pass the hat around for good old Roger Goodell.
Have we ever talked about the absurdity of Luke Wilson playing him in concussion? I don't know if we have. That was one of the worst casts ever.
Didn't we ask Luke Wilson about it?
I don't think we did. Did we?
No, we wanted the interview to go well, so I don't think we brought that casting up.
You know what? Maybe we did. I remember him. We were talking about hygiene and making fun of the people he'd been being interviewed by all week.
Yeah, on Radio Row.
That's what connected us to him right away, because he was selling deodorant, right? He was hustling Right Guard products.
Toothpaste.
Oh, toothpaste?
Yeah, it was Colgate.
Okay, Colgate. All right.
Both are good for hygiene.
Yeah, they help.
Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. He's got Rick Talender, Alex Kennedy, and Brian Perez from NBC Sports Chicago. A free plug for our fine friends over at NBC Sports Chicago, if I could speak. Their Be Chicago event tonight at 7 o'clock looks like it's going to be really cool. You can go to NBCSportsChicago.com for the link to donate to their COVID charities. They called in a bunch of favors and pulled out all the stops, and they got interviews and segments with all sorts of Chicago sports celebrities, past and present, to put on an entertaining night of sports conversation and raise some money for local COVID charities. So, really good job. That's a creative, outside-the-box thing. Very cool that NBC Sports Chicago has done that. So, again, Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. We appreciate Herb Lawrence helping us out back in the Score studios. Our guest today was Kendall Gill. He was absolutely fantastic. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins, and this is The Score.
Get the out of here. Get go anywhere but you out of here. Whoever's not with us, all you go to hell.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv.
Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.